Hi, this is Michael Veazey of Amazing FBA. Our sister podcast, The 10K Collective, is the world's newest e-commerce podcast. It's geared to the exact needs of 6-, 7-, and 8-figure Amazon and e-commerce business leaders. It's actionable but focused on how to scale your business and grow really fast for sale or long-term profit, not short-term hacks. We have in-depth talks with real e-commerce sellers and experts in industries like sourcing, team building, and managing cash. To find us, just search your podcast app for 10K Collective. That's 10K for kilo, COLLECTIVE. We are live on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Android, Stitcher, and Spotify to name but a few of the apps we're rolling out to. Or you can go to 10kcollective.com for show notes or to listen online.
I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Hi there and welcome to Amazing FBA. This is your host, Michael Veazey. Warm welcome back to the show. We are working our way through the build guide that we've created, 10-step guide to building a private label business. It's not your usual guide, I like to think. And by the way, if you want to get it, it's a PDF over about 12, 13 pages. Designed by our professional designer, Joanna, from Poland, of all places. It's another place where I fish for talents. Lots of talented East Europeans available for very modest money. It always amazes me how much talent there is out in the world that you can access at the drop of a mouse, as it were. Just amazing times we live in. So Joanna's designed it. I've written it and had it rewritten along with my coach. So we hope that we've condensed it into really absorbable and yet powerful set of principles for you to construct a business from scratch. So if you want to get that, amazingfba.com/build, B-U-I-L-D. That's amazingfba.com/B for Bertie, U for uniform, I for indigo, L for lima, D for delta, build. And we call it build, the 10-step build guide, because I want you to construct your business processes well. And I think that it's not that hard to explain how a business looks when it's finished. What's hard is to create a structure, a scaffolding from which we can then build the building itself. So the first thing we've got to do is construct the scaffolding. If you're building a building and then dig some foundations and then the building goes up and it all looks very, you know, solid and easy. And it is, because if you get your blueprint correct and then you have the right process for building, it should go according to plan, more or less, right? You might have to adjust as you go, of course, but that's more or less how we approach things. So the first four steps is a 10-step guide. We're going to talk on the fifth step today. First four steps were, there's a quick summary. First of all, be careful who you model. So we talk about modeling peak performers, and some of the greatest people in the world of learning, advanced accelerated learning, were Bandler and Grinder, who created what was called NLP, the Neuralistic Linguistic Programming approach. Now, a lot of people have boiled it down to a few sets of formulas and sort of tricks almost in the sales world or even in the therapeutic world. Originally, I think it was a system and an approach for modeling excellence. So, for example, Bandler and Grinder were able to model excellence in terms of people skiing well and break down the exact units of excellence that led to great skiing, even though they didn't ski themselves. That's a strange thing. I'm not saying you should necessarily learn from somebody who's never sold anything on Amazon. I've sold plenty of stuff on Amazon in my time, and I'm not doing huge numbers now. I may do bigger numbers in the future, who knows, but I've certainly not done millions. But the important thing is that I'm not trying to base an entire way of building a business on one person's experience in one particular time of the internet. Back in 2014 or 15, traditionally, a lot of businesses are based on that, and then on a very narrow subset of categories of products either. I try and base my training on a really broad range of stuff, including mentoring clients that I've been working with for over 3 years, the advanced sellers of the Million Pound Mastermind and the 10K Collective Mastermind, who've really shown the way in a lot of ways with very pragmatic, tested business building strategies. And of course, all the people I interview for the podcast and lots of private contacts who I wouldn't reveal by name, but who are some pretty serious sellers here in the UK, right at the center of a lot of those circles. So that's what we draw on, and that's a key point. You got to just think about who you're, you know, where the business models come from that you're copying, right, that you're following. The second step is pretty simple, which is learn the basics of Amazon from retail arbitrage or some other very low cost, very low risk way before you plunge into private labeling or making custom products, which is amazing how many people skip that step just because they're trained to, but you don't have to. And as soon as you think about it, it makes sense to do that, right? Number three is the NSL process. So this is the overview of the niche research, sourcing products, and then launching on Amazon. The overview of the process, which we're going to get into today in some detail. The fourth one is about scaling up in phases. So you start with the retail arbitrage, you do a generic or sort of limited budget, limited number of units launch to test the market, and then you scale up fully to a proper private label launch or indeed custom products, i.e. your own unique design. And sometimes it can be cheaper to do that than you think. I've had a client recently launch one, thanks to Ryan Shaffett of XQ Manufacturing, who's one of our partners and a great guy, very trustworthy over in China, been there about 18 years, but he's American. So sort of Western standards of quality control and honesty, if you like, to put it crudely. And he's been working with a client of mine to launch a sort of trial run of products for about £1,200, $1,400. And those are customized products. I mean, not fully different, but somewhat different from what's actually out there already. So it doesn't always have to be expensive to do that. So those are all really important things. And if you didn't catch those, go to amazingfba.com/blog, and you'll probably find them under episodes 347, 348, so forth. And if you want to get any of the episodes on the blog, if you want to read the blog posts there that go with these shows, just use the number. So episode 348, for example, will be amazingfba.com/348. If you ever try and get that, by the way, and we've messed up the link, just email michael@amazingfba.com and I'll sort you out, or one of my team will sort you out. So step five then. Having got all of that off our chest, okay, we've got to get into specifics. Yeah, but what do I actually do? Where's the traditional bit that I'm looking for, the tactical stuff? Okay, we can help you with that. So N stands for niche. So we've got NSL, niche source launch process. N's for niche, in other words, finding a niche market or picking a winnable Amazon market. So the first thing is, do you believe that you'll find the perfect product using Jungle Scout, or for that matter, Helium 10 via launch, or any other of those sort of crunching the numbers based systems that are based on BSR or best seller rank? The answer is yes and no. Okay. We don't believe, from experience, right? A lot of experience. We don't believe that you as a new person to Amazon are going to find success just by plunging into analyzing products on Amazon. Why is that? Well, it's all about differentiation. If you just follow the numbers, you're going to just do the same as everyone else, probably in a slightly more mediocre way or the same level of mediocrity. But if you don't understand the consumer better than your competition, you have no kind of competitive advantage. If you're just producing plastic widgets, then you are directly competing with the factories from China who can outproduce you all day. You have to be better than that. You have to use, I believe, a little bit of imagination. So I think this all comes down to starting with the person, not the product. Okay, so we break this niche finding or market research into two areas at PLP Towers in the private label process. Part A is what we call pick or product idea creation. You can brainstorm or you can use tools for this as well. Brainstorming, I think, is far better because it involves your brain, the desktop computer, not your laptop computer. People often sort of delegate thinking these days to their computer, but that's a really poor idea because everyone else has a laptop. Everyone else, for that matter, has access to the same tools you do. A lot of southern China, southeastern China, where there's so many of the big factories are and a lot of the competing businesses in China are based, use Jungle Scout as well. So that's not enough. Whereas if you start with your brain, you start with yourself. What are your hobbies? What about your work, your partner, your family, your friends, people at work, colleagues at work? Talking just today with a member of the PLP course, we have now, as part of that, the 10K Academy, where we have monthly accountability and discussion calls. And we had a fascinating call with a very small number of people. But one of the people, I'm going to reveal the exact niche, of course, but was talking about a particular hobby that he's very, very into, and he's very sort of, it's a sort of crazily passionate community that I barely knew existed. I vaguely heard about it, but only because I sell and coach people about selling on Amazon. But it's huge. I mean, he was talking about some convention somewhere. There are 30,000 people there for this thing. And I was amazed. And it's just a really rich scene to dig into because I've never heard of it. So probably most other people wouldn't even think of looking into something like that. Whereas for him, there's this whole community, kind of sport type activity that he's really into that most people don't know exists. And there's tons of physical products associated with that. That's like the perfect thing to look into. So in the end, it comes down to the PAP. Another nice little abbreviation. We've got the PAP, the person, and the pain. Okay, so in the end, you don't want to just brainstorm alone. You need to reach out to the three C's I call community, communicate, and comprehend. So community, for example, Facebook groups, Reddit, offline. If you're into a hobby, then talk to the people next time you go and do your hobby, particularly if it's a class thing, like, I don't know, Pilates or gym or whatever, or cycling if you're a part of a cycling club, or running if you're in a running club, etc., right? So find the community and talk to people, communicate, observe what people do, listen and ask. Don't just talk about, and for goodness sake, I'm not talking about pitching your product. I'm talking about finding out what people need, what their pains are, and where there's a gap between what they need and what's available in the market to them. Because that is really where we can, if we can fill that gap, not only do we serve humanity better, we're going to get rewarded for it with sales and profit, right? And then the third thing is comprehend. So community, communicate, comprehend. The third thing is dig deep, get real answers, real clarity. So just put respectfully, have conversations with people about their needs. Again, recently a client was talking about this with somebody who had a particular medical need. He was developing a product for that. He went to a Facebook group, respectfully asked the people there if it was okay to ask some questions, got very, very specific answers about a very particular type of problem and the products out there and how they were inadequate or not solving the problem. And he's gone away and created a customized product for about £1,000 or something for a small run, which I think is a fantastic result that it addresses those things. So he's directly kind of co-creating the product specification with his clients or his future clients or with his potential customers, whatever you call it. And then he's gone to the experts in production and said, okay, make this thing. It needs to have these characteristics. And that's such a great way to do it. And I'm delighted to see how well that's worked for him so far. We're just about to launch, so I'll keep you posted on how that works. But even if it doesn't work immediately, he's gone about the process in the right way. It's almost bound to work if you do that with two or three product lines and really get to know what the audience wants. Okay, so that's option one, is to brainstorm. Option two, it sounds like the easiest and quickest is to use tools, okay? It sounds good. You just go on whatever, the Jungle Scout web app or whichever one, and you look at a lot of products that people are searching for, and it gives you some suggestions of hot products and blah, blah, blah. Guess what? Everyone else is using the same tools. They're seeing the same opportunities. That means that everyone's coming up with the same sort of product ideas, right? Which is not really ideas, it's just data. And data's great. Data is a wonderful tool for managing your business. I don't believe it should be the driver of your business, though. And what I mean by that is data is critical. Of course it is. But if you don't have imagination, then you aren't going to get differentiation. And without differentiation, you won't make profit or you won't be able to defend yourself against the suppliers who just do the read the numbers and produce the widgets. And the Chinese are good at both of those things. So it's better to start with your human brain and human needs, not with the numbers. They are important, but don't start with the numbers, right? However, once we've done our pick product idea creation bit and got in touch with our markets, the person and the pain, then we're looking at part B, which is the product idea elimination bit, or PIE, as I call it, which is pretty cheesy, but got to make it, you know, memorable. And I think it's quite neat because what we're looking for is a market we can get a slice of, or get a slice of the pie. It doesn't really matter if it's a juicy, big, wonderful pie, and it would be lovely to own it all if we can't get any of what, it doesn't matter. So you got to crunch some numbers. I mean, first of all, you got to look at a hungry crowd for a set of keywords. We don't want people who are just searching for a solution, but they really want a solution. If there's very, very small revenue being made, you know, less than a few thousand dollars on page one related to a set of keywords, it's probably time to move on, unless you think you can really dominate that. You know, that comes down to a few things, like how many units you can move a month and what your minimum order quantity of units is. But broadly speaking, if you want a simple number, I suppose if it's $5,000, right, roughly. If the market's worth winning, the next thing we check is it winnable? So is it worth winning? If not, don't bother. But if it is, then is it winnable for you personally? And there's a few simple things, one of which is your budget. If you would need a budget of $100,000 to launch into a marketplace and you have a budget of $10,000 or even five, then it's no good for you personally, even in theory, even if, rather, in theory is a wonderful market. And that's very important that no tool in the world generally takes account of that. A couple of the advanced ones do, but not the standard tools. The next thing you want to look at, is it worth winning? Yes. So there's enough demand there. You can also check search volume with Helium 10, very useful tool that. Have you got enough money to enter this market and make a dent in it? Okay. If so, then you need to look at a bit of the competition. Is there a brand with more than 30% of the revenue? It's going to be a bit hard to beat unless it's really very different indeed from what you do. Or is there a household name? If you're going to go into trainers, you're going to be up against Nike and Adidas and Basics. I mean, that's clearly a no-brainer. That's a poor idea, right? Unless you really differentiate it. Listings. I mean, if one brand has 10 listings on page one out of 14 listings or 16, whichever it is, and it varies from time to time, guess what? That's not a very smart idea either, right? And then obviously the reviews. Famously, everyone talks about reviews. If the top products all have hundreds or thousands of reviews, you probably shouldn't be going into that market. If they have, I don't know what the magic number is, but say 50, 100 reviews, but the average rating is low, as in it looks like it's 3.5 stars or something, you can probably still beat that product if you have a 5-star average rating and a moderate number of reviews. So the magic number, if you're looking for simple numbers, it is a gross simplification, but the magic number is 21. So you hit it here first. So in the USA, if you have 21 reviews and you have a 5-star average, you should probably be able to beat up most of the competition if they've only got a few hundred reviews, as long as their rating or average rating is 4 stars or fewer. So you don't get too hung up on reviews, but it's part of the picture. And if all of the above checks out, and you haven't eliminated it yet. By the way, most things you'll eliminate by this point, and that's a good thing, right? So it's like a sort of, I always think of it as a sort of, a pyramid, an inverted pyramid underneath. So the pyramid is you start with a few ideas, you grow into masses of product ideas, and then you filter those out and you end up with very few. But the ones you're left with are not only imaginative and based around people's needs, but the numbers check out as well, right? So it's quite correct to start with 100 ideas, and end up with a few. So you are eliminating things, and that's a good thing. So the other thing to say is you should only be considering things in detail if you haven't already eliminated them. If you apply the same level of analytical precision to every single idea you ever have and create spreadsheets for all of them, and goodness knows I've done that and my clients have done that as well, it really does create an exhausting way of working, and it's totally unnecessary. For example, if there is almost no demand for a market, if you're running away from the competition, I've had one or two clients who really get obsessed with finding almost no competition markets, and that's normally because there's almost no demand. So that's not even worth bothering with. So just forget it. Don't need to do any more analysis. The second thing is, if you need $100,000 to go into it and you have $5,000, just move on. You don't need to do detailed analysis, right? If you're trying to go and sell trainers against Nike, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that's a really bad idea. Forget it, move on. I can't stress this enough because people spend so much unnecessary time analyzing and it drives them nuts, and no wonder. So don't do that. Just eliminate things as brutally as you can, right? Come up with 100 ideas for products or 50 or whatever and eliminate most of them. If it gets through to the point where the big picture stuff makes sense, there's demand, the competition is manageable, it's, the reviews, the brand competition is manageable, then you should look in detail. Only then you look at the competitive listings in detail and look at things like the photos. Do they use all 9 photos? Are they boring? Are they engaging? Are they in fact beautiful? The words, is it keyword rich? Do they use benefits clearly? Can you do better? Keyword ranking, how well do the top products rank for individual keywords? Is there one that's easier to win? By the way, that's absolutely critical that you really are clear-minded about that. Once again, just to stress, it doesn't matter how juicy the pie is or how big it is, if you can't get a slice of it, it doesn't make any difference, right? And this is something people do. It's kind of window shopping for businesses. They stand there with their nose pressed against the window of Amazon, looking at a market where people are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. And it really doesn't matter if you can't afford to enter that market. I can't stress that enough, because you see that so often. And the other thing is, you know, pick keywords where you can rank decently for them. It's much, much, much better to be a big fish in a small pond in the world of internet marketing and the modern world in general. It's always been a smart business strategy in a fragmented, niche-driven economy, and the internet makes things more like that. But Amazon really makes it absolutely necessary. So please don't try and go into generic markets where you need hundreds of thousands of dollars to get into it, like, I don't know, selling candles or towels or some insanely generic keyword like that. That's not a smart strategy, okay? I know it sounds obvious, but I see it a lot. So please be very aware of that. And also, just look at the data, and you can get that with a lot of the tools will offer keyword ranking data. So you need to put many of the keywords you're thinking of targeting in and put competition's products in, and just really be realistic about who you're up against. Really important stuff to get right. Because if you get your market choice right, you're halfway to the finish line. If you get it wrong, you kind of condemned yourself. So this is one of the reasons why people get stuck at this point. And understandably, because it is so important, people are trying to be perfect rather than good. And I guess in the end, you know what, if you eliminate most of your ideas, what's left is bound to be better quality. And then I think you need to have the courage to buy something at a small scale and sell it, as I talked about in step four. If you try and go straight for private labeling, no wonder you're going to be terrified. You try and get it perfect on paper, you'll never find the perfect market, therefore you'll never move. So the way to break that deadlock is to go, right, we are not looking for the perfect product. We're looking for something that passes the tests at this stage, and we move on to sourcing, which is where a lot of the reality check comes. Because if you think you can sell something for $20, but it's going to cost you $10 to source it, and you really push hard on that, and you can't change that number, then it looks like an attractive product from the marketing perspective or the market, you know, the keyword market, the market research. But in the end, the sourcing may put the kibosh on it and eliminate it, in which case that's okay. You go back to the drawing board and start again. But there's always that balance to be struck between being thorough and getting stuck. What I would just say, a couple of rules of thumb. First of all, if you're analyzing things in detail that you have no business analyzing, you can probably cut your work time at least in half, in most cases, if not more, when it comes to market research. The other thing is, if you're doing, quote, market research thoroughly for more than 3 months, I think you're just going in circles. It's time to buy something and try and sell it on Amazon. It's time to go and source something. Extraordinarily approximate rules of thumb. I mean, if you want one-to-one help from me, then reach out, michael@amazingfba.com. I do one-off consultations with people, or if you want to work with me on an ongoing basis, as several people do, at any given time, I offer the mentoring program. If you want to check that out, go to amazingfba.com/mentoring. But again, to put in just simple terms, if you're going around in circles for 3 or 4 months, my friend, you are, you know, in fear. You need to try and buy something. And then the art comes not in finding the perfect market, but a one that looks good enough. Go and source something for an affordable amount. Get it out there. See if it sells. You'll learn a lot from it, whether or not it's a success. And then you can adjust course and pivot. As they say, you can't steer a parked car. A very cheesy phrase, but it's true. And I think, you know, in the end, if you're getting completely stuck, you need to just do something, try and sell something and see what happens. And it sounds the most primitive advice in the world. I promise we have very much more sophisticated systems at the PLP course. If you want to check that out, by the way, amazingfba.com/PLP. That's P for private, L for label, and P for process, a PLP course. Right now, though, I'm going to leave you the quick recap of what we've done today. So niche research, traditionally people just reach straight for the usual tools that measure the numbers. And I strongly advise you to look at your own life or your friends, spouse, workers, whatever, and their hobbies and activities, and then really get to know exactly what people need and help solve a problem. Once you've done that, then you can go through the numbers, and that will really help at the end of that, give you some fantastically strong product ideas to take through to the next stage. The next stage being sourcing and then launch, which we will deal with in the next parts of this series. But for now, thank you very, very much for listening. Speak to you in the next podcast. Hey there, this is Michael, and saying thank you for listening to the Amazing FBA episode you just listened to. Just want to mention that I mentioned at the top of the show our sister podcast, the 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, which is for 6, 7 and 8 figure sellers on Amazon. Specifically, that's who we're geared to. I'm sure that people doing bigger numbers will still have a lot of things to learn from it.
and people doing smaller numbers, sure, but it's not going to be immediately actionable for you. So if that is you, keep listening to the Amazing FBA podcast. But if you're 6, 7, or 8 figures on Amazon or e-commerce, I really think you should check it out. So I just want to give you a flavor of what's coming up, or rather just a bit of a list. Not deeply exciting as podcasts go, but I just wanted to, if you're just checking it out, know whether it's for you and what sort of topics we cover. Here's what's coming up. So first of all, an interview with our own Ashley Pierce from the 10K Collective Mastermind, who is talking about his last year in e-commerce, where he went from $750,000 in 2018 in turnover to a run rate this year of $1.25 million. So that's from scratch in 3 years. Super smart man, and he had a lot of the right skills going in. And let's be clear about that. But he didn't have tons of capital, just the conventional amount. So I still think that's an incredible result. And also, he's a really nice guy and a very, very clear-minded and feet-on-the-ground business thinker. So there's so much value. If nothing else, check that out. Really cannot urge you enough. I mean, these guys that have been in the Mastermind for nearly 2 years now have just honed their game to the nth degree. I've never heard quality discussion like I hear in there. And I don't say that because it's about me. It's not about me. I'm just privileged to work with some super smart and great people. So do check it out. Other things coming up then, lots and lots of industry expert interviews. Here's a flavour. And honestly, this is about half the list of people who've agreed to come on for an interview. So several of these are already recorded. So with Ryan Shaffett from XCube Manufacturing, we are going to be talking about custom manufacturing in China. He's been out there about 18 years. And custom manufacturing, I can't emphasise enough how much that is the future. If you're still just purely private labelling stuff, it's going to get harder and harder to make a profit with that business model. I mean, I think it's got a year or two left in it, but sooner or later you need to get onto custom manufacturing. So this is a hyper critical skill set that you should be learning, I believe, to future proof your business. Second is funding, which is another massive topic, how to fund growth, because any scaling business, as Vern Harnish says, growth sucks cash. This is the law of gravity of scaling. Therefore, we've got to look into raising capital, and one way is debt. And Bruce Mack is going to talk to us about that. Aaron O'Sullivan is coming on from Systems Culture Impact to talk about outsourcing and company culture. And again, if you're scaling up a business, you're going to have a very painful time if you keep trying to do it yourself. Even if you've hit, say, $1 million a year equivalent, which I know some people have without a VA, guess what? You're not going to get to 2 million without a VA or basically a proper team on board. So that's something that's definitely a big barrier to entry. And also, to put it on its head, something that will add to your comfort and enjoyment of your business if you go with it. So that's a few things that we got in depth, just in a bit more superficial detail. Chris Shipfling of Providium with Jason Somerville is going to be talking about selling your FBA business, and they have a private equity take on that from the Wall Street side. So really fascinating angle on that. FBA reimbursements with Ben Chambers. Amazon often owes about $50,000 to $100,000 for any serious seller at some points in the year. How do you get your hands on that? It's just a fantastic source of cash, apart from anything else. So Amazon's got your cash. If you can get it out of the system, guess what? That's fantastically healthy for your business. Ash Munger's talking about quality control from China. He's got an incredibly detailed system for doing that. He's been out in China running IMEX sourcing for 9 years now, so he seriously knows his business backwards and sideways and in detail. Connor Gillivan's going to talk about the quick outsourcing system that FreeUp represents and how to outsource quickly and easily. Paulina Masson came on this morning. We talked about pricing, which is a very underrated and very important thing for driving profits. Will Churnland's coming back on, and we're going to talk about evaluating the competition from a real sort of standpoint of somebody who's not just looking at the numbers, although Will is super smart with numbers, but from the point of view of the overall competitive landscape. Really, as ever, Will's a brilliant Amazon thinker, always worth hearing. Kevin King's coming back on. Not even sure what we're going to be talking about yet with Kevin, but you know what? He's always a super smart guy when it comes to the marketing side, so I'm sure we have lots to learn from him. What else we got coming up? Amazon account suspension with Joshua Price, launching to overseas markets with John Cant, PPC advertising and profit margins with Mike Zagare of PPC Entourage. What else? Chris Rawlings is coming back from Judo Launch. Presumably we'll be talking about Launch. Alex Oxford is coming on to talk about sales tax. He is super smart at explaining this stuff in very simple terms, but yet dealing with all the details as well. Alex is absolutely a critical person to listen to if you sell in the USA. Kostas Anastasiadis is coming back to talk about short-term funding. Brad Moss is coming back, who used to run Seller Central, so he's a super sharp guy as well. China Sourcing with Manuel Bekvar. Law for Amazon Sellers with Paul Ruffelson. Augustus Kligas is coming back on to talk about various different topics. John Cavendish talk about translations. Paul Harvey to talk about chatbots. Brian Johnson talk about PPC. Greg Mercer to talk about product research. Nadine Eich to talk about Germany and customer service in Germany. And probably going to get my old accountant Penny Lowe back to talk about bookkeeping basics. Whew. We have, as you can tell, an incredible amount of really practical, useful content coming up, a lot of which is already recorded and is definitely coming out over the next few weeks. So get yourself over there, folks. It's just a place you need to be. This is not just a bunch of let's fill the airways with the latest kind of hack that's going to die in 2 months. I'm taking care to really focus on content that is as evergreen as possible. Why? Because then you listen once and implement over multiple years, or at least months, and then you get the payoff over time, so you get better return on your listening time, if you like. And I think that's a really important metric. Return on listening for me is something I aim to give you in spades. So get yourself over there. 10K Collective is the thing you need to look for. 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, to give it the full title. You can look on iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts apps, or Stitcher. We should be on Spotify any minute now, and we're just waiting to get ourselves on Google Play and Google Podcasts. So it will be more and more available. If you can't find it on your listening device, your preferred device, then just go to the website and you can listen directly there. 10kcollective.com. That's 10k, 10k for kilo. Collective is collective.com. That's 10kcollective.com. Thanks so much for listening to such a very, very lengthy post-roll pitch, if you like. I'm not actually selling anything, so it's not a pitch in any strict sense. It's free and it always will be. Of course, we will mention paid services from time to time, but I believe in giving like 95%, 99% value and a little pitch at the end. So it's not going to be a pitch fest. We are just aiming to build massive goodwill and getting ourselves out there and known. And of course, we hope to attract some wonderful people to our masterminds, and if people can use the services that some of our experts provide, so much the better. But really, that's our main thrust, is to get ourselves out there and build goodwill. So you know more than you're ever going to need to know in life about this podcast. Get yourself over there and listen. Stop listening to Amazing FBA. What are you still doing here? I'm going to go and have a cup of tea. I suggest you go and do the same, and I'll speak to you in the next show.